Hi there.
Welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Town Podcast. It's about soccer and time travel. Are we looking to Seattle Sounders?
Yeah.
Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, and fan outrage. An attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded by foreign royalty. It's MLS. We are your hosts from Mornings on 107.7 The End. Hi, I'm Gregor. And making that face from the sidelines at Century Lake Field, it's Brandon from the Internet.
Oh, you know what? Maybe. So you know how in FIFA they have they scan everybody's faces, and then they, you know, like in the game, you know, they do their best to recreate you know, like everything in the game. So they have fans in the sidelines, and
please.
And that's what I'm saying, man. Like maybe, just maybe, next year at CenturyLink Field when you're playing FIFA 21, there will be Brandon from the Internet making that face.
Full 90 podcast on Twitter to see what we are talking about specifically. Anyway, hi, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
But primarily, leave us a comment. After talking so much about left-wingers last week, we just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders right back.
Yeah, from DeAndre Yedlin to the king of Golden Clog, Kelvin Leardom.
Yeah, the Yedlin's the king of golden hair sometimes.
Yeah.
But
he's honestly, like, we should do a like, we should really do a poll of best hair in Sounders FC. Literally, you could do Sounders FC outside back history, because you have like Tyrone Mears, Kelvin Leardom, yeah.
I forgot his name.
Yeah, Tyrone Mears, DeAndre Yedlin, Space Buns, Jovan Jones. like, I feel like you could have a pretty strong list just between those three, because of the amount of different hairstyles they've gone for. But then you have to include Roman Torres. Obviously, Brad Evans is always in the running just because of his illustrious mane that he has.
Yeah. Wow, I like the Roman Torres thing. I like, well, we'll get to the FIFA characterizations here in a little while. This week, the still on top or King of the Mountain Sounders FC.
King of the Mountain.
King of the Mountain.
Boosha boosha boo.
Sounders FC take on the still not on the bottom, but getting close. Colorado Soccer Squad FC, FCAC, whatever they are. I can't even remember their name. Hey, big news out of the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast world. We've got a website. That's not true. We've got a URL.
We've been doing this thing for like 3 years and just got a link.
So you can now go to full90podcast.com and find our link tree there to figure out where the hell we are on the internet, because it's not consistent in any way.
No, it's way easier to remember Full 90 Podcast, which is still not the name of our podcast.
Hey, bro, why are you moving your computer so I'm looking at your microphone and kind of your crotch? Is this like going to half Sounders or broadcast where they just zoomed in on Stefan Fry's crotch and then slowly moved up to his face like, hey, who wants a piece of this?
The answer is everyone. No, I forgot that the camera was on that one.
Full90podcast.com. All right.
Where you can see slow-mo zoom-ins of Brandon's crotch.
And microphone.
And microphone.
And that's not innuendo.
Yes.
Actually his microphone. Yeah. big win last night. Not really unexpected, but after a draw against Van Jose a few week ago or whatever, it was nice to see Seattle Sounders FC take the full 3 points and not, as Scuba Steve would say, drop the deuce.
I thought that was a very good take
every
from
time.
Scuba Steve.
Every time from now on, if they leave points out there on the field, if they
walk
away with a draw, we're dropping a deuce.
Yeah, because you didn't get the 2 points that you could have with a win.
Just like we did 3 seasons ago when we asked Clint Dempsey to retire.
You know, the only person that, the only people that dropped a deuce was the Whitecaps when they let us score 2 goals.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
what a game.
What a difference it makes to have Raul Ruiz Diaz back out there.
Dude, I had no idea. Like, when we talked about it a few weeks ago, we said that the players leaving wouldn't hopefully have that huge an impact because of the significance of how well everyone else was playing. And we were proven wrong that kind of the spine of the team was really significantly weak. And from the head, with its neck tattoos of Raul Ruiz Diaz, back to Gustav Svensson, Gun Svensson was... It was incredible.
It's Carl. Actually. Carl Bings.
Carl Bings. That's amazing. Anyway, it was really that made a huge impact when you saw João Paulo come off the field in the 70-something minute and knew that Gustav Svensson was out there. That was the you could give João Paulo a rest because you've got the other key element of holding down that midfield and not relying on waggy finger Javier Arriaga.
Yeah, no, I think actually, you know, Rui Diaz in there, obviously the big difference. He gets a goal and an assist. The assist was just as good as the goal, if you ask me, the way that he dribbled around the defender and set up Nico Lodero for that. And then you had Svensson in there. You know, I think what it allows the team to do is just feel more confident. Like, Jordi Delem is a good player. Don't get me wrong. Like, Jordi Delem is a great player, but he's not as much of a leader on the pitch as Gustav Svensson is. And then you add in Arriaga in the back, who's been, you know, he had a few shaky starts when he first started for the team. The waggy finger. But I think he's been coming into his own a little bit, playing, like, developing a relationship with Yamar. And starting to really feel more confident and comfortable back there. He's had some penalties called against him, but at least a couple of them are questionable at best against him. So I think he's starting to be a little bit more comfortable back there. So yeah, it was great to see all three of those guys back there, especially Raul Ruidíaz, man, with that bleached hair, with that white silver hair.
Yeah.
He must have been injecting the bleach that he was supposed to be to defeat the coronavirus because of the way that his hair turned out.
Who would have thought that Trump would be right? That's amazing. He turned out great. That's great. Speaking of Arriaga a moment ago, in the second half, he had a real questionable tackle once again on a player. Yeah. And he's really shown some growth after the international break, showing real restraint and not waving the finger at the ref there to clearly signal that he was in the wrong. Is a definite yes, sir.
Well, when I was watching it and I saw the, because I kind of tuned in a little bit late, I was listening to a lot of it on the radio while I was driving. You know, we're trying to see all of our friends and family before we leave Seattle and move to Spokane tomorrow. I was driving back home from dinner with my mom, and I was listening to the match on the radio, and then I finally tuned in when I got home, and I saw the ref go into his ear, and then they kept showing a slow-mo replay of Arriaga making that play, that questionable tackle. Then I'm like, how is this even a question? Like, he got the ball. He barely went through the man. The man went through him. The Whitecaps player went through him. That was actually a great tackle. Like, it's Arriaga, so, like, the suspicion is definitely there. like he's not necessarily, like, living above reproach there. Like, he's got, like, the question is there of, like, oh, well, it's kind of like when Ozzie Alonso makes a tackle. It could be the cleanest tackle in the world, but because it's Ozzie Alonso, you're like, did he stab him while it happened, or...
It's like a right-wing white guy at a protest. He's got his hand on his gun already. The ref has his hand on the yellow. Yeah, like, exactly. Oh, here he goes. I'm going to show it. Yeah. I'm going to show it.
Don't make me do it.
Hey, you posted something on our Twitter, a picture of four Sounders players all standing around together looking dope before the match. And I was like, who's that guy? Oh, that guy was Yamar.
Oh, yeah.
As one of the four. And I was like, whoa, that's Yamar? Because in my mind, that was like a young, like, super fit, ready to go dude. And in my mind, Yamar's 50. He looks like he's like Jimmy Traore is out there. Like, that age guy is out there. Yeah. You know, not this young dude who's... and so I was watching an episode of Seinfeld where Jerry is dating a lady. And in some light, she's really beautiful. And then in other light, she's very ugly. And I wonder if we have kind of an age Seinfeld moment going on here where, like, I just catch Yamar in the wrong light and he looks like a 50-year-old man. But you catch him when he's just being chill and casual and he looks young and fly.
Okay, without Googling it, because I just did, tell me how old you think he is based on what you've just said.
I would have guessed 33.
Okay.
And now I think like 24.
28, so almost right in the middle.
God
there.
God damn it! Yeah. Son of a bitch! So he swings either way. Oh, that's not
okay. No, you mean like Roman Torres swings either way between being a defender and a central attacker.
Right, exactly. Is he an attacking center back or a defending forward? We don't know. And he came on for some minutes at the end there and had an instant gaffe where I was like, oh my God.
Oh,
like,
well, no, that's what I almost wrote that down in the game notes, because at one point Roman Torres made a terrible, terrible pass. He was trying to pass it out to the right wing or something like that. But he's
like, oh, Montero.
He booted it so hard into Freddy Montero's leg that it actually just bounced back to the other center back. and I think whoever was on the call, I think it was Keith Costigan, was like, well, Roman Torres makes a mistake there, but he makes the mistake so hard that he actually ends up saving himself.
That's amazing. Well, it was interesting watching that match. You brought up the ref a minute ago, because it was too bad that the regular official couldn't make it, but I'm really stoked that there was a dad walking by to fill in. That guy looked like Mike Golick, the former Mike and Mike host, was like, hey, what are you doing right now? You want to run for 90 minutes? Like, well, I could use the exercise, I suppose, my doctor says.
To me, he looked like a character that Sacha Baron Cohen plays. Like, he looked like as if Borat was like doing another one of his bits where he was trying to like catch, I don't know, Brian Schmetzer in a compromising position or something like that.
We've already had Salazar, man. We don't need Sacha Baron Cohen. Whatever happened to Salazar? I was thinking about that over the weekend. Is he still?
Yeah, he probably got promoted to where he couldn't do any damage. No, I think he's still refereeing.
Just never Seattle.
Yeah.
Maybe he's in a different league somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's still around. I think he's actually even refereed games this season. Like, he's been on the VAR. So speaking of Salazar, speaking of old people from Sounders lore, imagine showing yourself a picture 10 years ago. It's Greg 10 years ago, Brandon 10 years ago, and you show yourself a picture of...
Only one of us could drink in this scenario, by the way.
Right. Wait, is that true? Oh, yeah, that's true. Yep.
That is true.
I was in Bellingham, probably stoned.
I'm not saying you weren't drinking. I'm just saying that legally, only one of us could actually go buy the booze.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm in Bellingham, and Wizard Bird transports current me to the past to show Brandon the picture. And the first thing I say, 10-year-old, or not 10-year-old me, but 10 years ago me, says, whoa, what's that? And you're like, that's the Wizard Bird. And then future me shows past me a picture of the Sounders playing against Freddie Montero in a Whitecaps kit in Portland.
You'd be like, what?
Let's go.
With no fans
in the stadium.
And signage that makes it look like that perhaps Canada has taken over part of the United States.
Yeah.
Like, we're coming down for Cascadia. Are we our own country now, but we still play in MLS? That's amazing.
In Vancouver relocated, like, the entire city of Vancouver got traded to Portland.
Stupid Portland left their goddamn log, though.
But it's so funny, though, because Keith Costigan said something, or no, it was Matt.
Sacawani.
Matt Johnson. Thank you. It's like such an easy last name to remember. Matt Johnson said something on the radio that was like, Freddie Montero still looks like a 12-year-old to this broadcaster. And it's true. I mean, Freddie Montero looks the same that he looked when he played for the Sounders.
Up next on Church Talk.
Yeah. Sorry. But Freddie Montero looks the same way that he looked when he played for the Sounders 10 years ago. And except the hair is just a little shorter and he owns a coffee shop. Like, he's now a grown-up businessman owning a coffee shop in Seattle.
And he's got the captain's armband. Yeah. It's like seeing Raheem Sterling for Man City wearing the armband. Yeah. And I'm like, what? Brendan Rodgers was just yelling at you in that show sponsored by Chevrolet. That was weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just, what a wild 10 years it's been for the league. And just like, it just shows the way things change.
At least Vancouver, still terrible.
Yeah, nothing's changed about that.
Yeah. So Vancouver can.
They could still make the playoffs, and the Sounders have beat them handedly 3 times this season. So
Vancouver came all the way from Vancouver to South Vancouver, deep South Vancouver in Portland, where that's been their home stadium while they're trying to play games in the States, because we can't travel up there because Canada's smart. And so this time they had the stadium decked out. I don't know what it looked like last time they had a home match there, but they had it decked out, and it actually looked really good. It was believable. If you didn't know what was going on, you didn't see the green and yellow Providence Park sign in the middle, you'd think that they were playing actually no turf bony. So it's kind of a giveaway.
We went from where's Brian Meredith to where's turf bony. It's really sad to see that Turf Boney couldn't get through the quarantine rules in order to travel to the United States to play.
It's a very slow drive for the turf maintaining Turf Boney down I-5 to all the way to Portland.
Can you imagine? That would be
top speed of 7.
Like a street sweeper going all the way down.
So anyway, a master trolling though by the Fartland organization. They left a bunch of farts. No, they left their giant log at the end there. So it's like banner wrapped, bell, you know, everything, Vancouver, everything everywhere. The digital displays and the overlays and the stands are blue. The ball disappears behind the blue curtain, everything, right? But then right there in that back corner where the stupid Timbers Army would be is a giant log just hanging out. And I thought that was like some really good, like, well, it's just too big to move. Well, how did you get it in here? Never mind you.
Yeah, they were able to transport it to wherever they played for the MLS Cup when they played in it.
Couldn't just You couldn't just like roll it back through the tunnel there. No, they left it there. James Woolard, stadium announcer for Seattle Sounders FC, had a lovely take that I liked with a "I'll take my log unsliced, thank you." That is how I always feel about Portland now. Is that let's keep that Timber Joey, who's a great community guy. I'll give him credit for that. Let's keep him from firing up that chainsaw. Or next time, bring our own and go over there and start sawing away. That would be awesome.
What would be like the Whitecaps version? I mean, you and I had this conversation when I.
What if Timber Joey was actually a kangaroo?
Oh, yeah. I want to meet, if he's Timber Joey, I want to see, and he's a big boy. I would love to see the pouch that he came out of.
He should wear an apron and then have a kangaroo pop out of it.
And it's just Brad Smith. Because he's Australian, obviously.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the stadium looked great, but to the point we were making a few minutes ago about the players that we had missing in the last few matches for international duty, I did not realize, despite the fact that we never utilize them correctly, Raul Ruiz Diaz would be such a big miss up top there.
Well, I mean, it's what we talked about last week with Jordan Morris, like not being able to take, not be able to carry the load for both load, huh? Not being able to just really bear the brunt of all of the pressure that the defense can put on him, right? So Raul Ruiz Diaz is up there to alleviate some of that, to spread the play out a little bit, gives Nico Ladero another outlet up top. You know, Will Bruin's a great forward, don't get me wrong. He scored the equalizer against the Leakey in the end Timbers. But he's not the same type of player as Ruiz Diaz. He's a hold up guy. He's able to bring other players into the mix, keep the ball, head it when you need a tall guy, an attacking or a defending forward to head the ball in. Having the speed of Ruiz Diaz up there compared to a Will Bruin is what I mean. That's the game changer. That I mean, you saw the run that led to the assist and the run that led to his goal were both just because he's able to beat. We always talk about how he's not the fastest forward, but he's much faster than Will Bruin and gives the defender something else to think about when you got Jordan Morris up there also.
A couple matches ago, maybe last match, Casey Keller had the observation that that Jordan Morris, when Will Bruin is playing in the center, he tends to come in and make the game a lot more narrow, and it doesn't force the defenders to have any problems out because he can really burst in from the outside in, and he's kind of drifting centrally, and Nuhu's not strong enough on the cross to get that done out there to be able to cover. And so we still didn't see it in this match, and I think that probably, if I'm guessing, and if just from watching, I bet you Jordan wishes there was somebody that was stronger at crossing in that circumstance so he could come centrally. But once they could get him to play out wide like that, there could be a whole lot more damage done with him dragging the defense out and being able to get the ball back in centrally to those two playmakers between Ladero and Ruiz Diaz. That hug between the two of them after that second goal, oh my God, you could tell that both of them were pumped to have each other back.
I think it's funny that you mentioned Nuhu, who had the assist on the Ruiz Diaz goal with a great cross. And on the broadcast, they're talking about how, at least on the radio broadcast, they're talking about how Nuhu is one of the best one-on-one defenders in the league. He's up there with the best in the league. And they said, as part of his as of his growth and as part of his development is to be able to add that other component to his game, which is being a good crosser, being a good attacker. And I would argue that in the last, you know, 3-4 games and realistically this entire season, Nuhu has started to show some real progress as a crosser. And it, like, he's still not Jovan Jones where he's able to put the ball on a dime for the forwards, but Nuhu's dangerous. I'm talking like, I think probably one out of every three crosses, and he does get a lot of opportunity there because he does create so much space for himself.
Those crazy legs
with his human tech deck legs, he's able to get at least one out of three crosses into a pretty dangerous spot. And you saw it yesterday with the goal or with Rui Diaz's goal. He was able to create the space, get past the defenders. Raul Ruiz Diaz was able to stay onside behind the ball because both players had gotten beyond the back line of Vancouver's defense. And he was able to get across in an uncontested shot by Ruiz Diaz. Yeah. I mean, it was a great finish, don't get me wrong. Like, really close quarters with the goalkeeper. But that play was created by Nuhu getting behind that defense. So I think that Nuhu is potentially all-star quality left back in this league.
Oh, wow. That's good. To the television broadcaster's credit, they were also talking about how he's been spending a tremendous amount of time in, I almost said rehearsal, at practice, working on those crosses because he knows that they need those to work out better, especially in a situation where you got a guy like Bruin who's going to be covering or something like that. You got to be able to put that cross on so he can use his height to an advantage there.
Well, he's getting coached by legendary Champions League winner, you know, French national team, Jimmy Traore. Yeah. So I think like when you've got a coach like him and you start, and they both speak French, which I imagine is incredibly helpful. I think when you have a coach like Jimmy Traore there, you're in a really good spot.
Hey, that brings us to the most important player for Seattle. It's the Dragon Ball Z man of the match.
Yeah, your Dragon Ball Z man of the match is Super Saiyan inject bleach into your butt, Raul Ruiz Diaz.
I think it's the light that you put in your butt, the bleach you drink. But yes,
okay.
Dragon Ball Z, it's what the Canadians call it. How weird, right?
It is weird. I have some friends that live in Saskatchewan, and every time they try to talk about, not that we spend a lot of time talking about Dragon Ball Z, but they do say Z all of the time, and it's very off-putting.
I still can't believe you said inject bleach up your butt. Have you streamed any of the matches yet on Amazon?
That's how I watch. I will say this, that the Amazon, especially now that I'm moving to Spokane, where there's no local kind of market for the mm-hmm. match, Amazon Prime has been an incredible revelation as far as like the broadcast. I mean, we talked about this at the beginning of the season. The Sounders still hadn't announced a broadcasting partnership with anybody, so you had to be in Seattle or had to have ESPN Plus to be able to watch the match. Amazon Prime has made that so anywhere in Washington State, you can stream the match, which is great. This is not like a paid advertisement for them at all. I'm just literally talking about how much I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But a funny result of it being on Amazon is that it lives within the Amazon Prime Video network, right? And so just like all of the Amazon Prime Video originals that you can watch, you can review the match as if it were just an Amazon Prime product. And somebody gave the match yesterday a 1-star review.
Would not recommend.
Which makes me think, was it Jan?
Yeah, it had to be. We know it was you. This match was Tosh.
Loudmouth American boys playing against loudmouth Canadian boys. Ignorant.
A big victory, though. 2-0 is a good win. Good to have those guys back. Good to be back to the winning ways. It's really cool. And more than that, they clinched a spot in the playoffs, and that's 12 times in the first 10 years. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, I love that we get to celebrate 10 years in MLS every year. I mean, we're celebrating the last 10 years, okay?
Yeah. Hey, also, the announcer for... I went back and watched the highlights again just to make sure I didn't miss anything. And the announcer for the Whitecaps had a small kerfuffle, and he called Raul Ruiz Diaz. And for a second, my worlds combined. Sumo, with like Ryuden and soccer with Ryu Diaz was amazing. I was like, ha-ha.
I can't wait till Matt Johnson calls Nuhu Nuhakuho.
I'm so glad that we both stumbled on the same thing, probably from the Sounders subreddit. I'm so glad that we both found the same thing, and I didn't bring it up to talk about because I didn't know like where you'd be with it or whatever, but then I check our run sheet that we fill out every week to see what's going to happen in the show, and there it is. You're rating the job that FIFA 21 did, putting the faces on the players of the Seattle Sounders FC. Amazing, because that's where I wanted to go. This is what I'm here for.
This is the absolute tosh that we bring to this podcast. So, So the way that it works, so FIFA 21 every year, I mean, they have to, or so FIFA, the game, EA from EA Sports, yeah. Which is based in Vancouver, every year they have to, they have to take in, you know, thousands of players. I don't know how many players there are in the world playing in the leagues that are represented in FIFA, right? So they have to take in all of these faces and try to create photorealistic character models of all of these different players. Now, when you play in like a League 3 in France, right, and you're a relatively unknown player that sits on the bench, like you're most likely not going to have a super representative picture of your face. But with the Sounders, because we do live so close to Vancouver, BC, the Sounders are able to my face is not getting in this dang game no matter how hard I try. But the Sounders are able to go up to, well, I don't know if they were able to this year because of the coronavirus, but they typically are able to go up to Vancouver and get their proper face scan in the machine that they use to do like the 3D imaging and blah blah blah. That said, when you go through, if you go to the Sounders subreddit, we'll also post the link on our Twitter, which you can find via the full90podcast.com. And if you go there, you'll be able to look at the video that they've shown as like the FIFA 21 face reveal for the Sounders players. And some of them, I must say, look awesome. Like really, really strong, really great, because they're the players that are like iconic Sounders players.
Some of them, more like garbage.
Garbage.
So, okay, well then, I want you to just keep this in mind as we go through these, okay? And you can say what you will, but at the end, I want to know whose is best, for better or worse. Like, because it's so bad or so good, which character is the best, okay? We'll just go through, you know, a half dozen of them here. Not the full list. You'll have to watch the whole thing because it'll take a while. But they start off in goal, they start with Stefan Fry.
Yeah, I love Stefan Fry. Looked like Stefan Fry to me. It's great.
To me, he looked like Ewan McGregor trying to play a 17-year-old Padawan, where they like, it looked like young Stefan Fry.
22 Jedi Street.
Yeah, it didn't look like he was like the aged veteran keeper that can't get a shot with the U.S. men's national team despite having residency here and being the best in the league. It looked like not the young, fresh-faced one making mistakes out on the field, not sure what to do, not the new who of last year. He looks more like the new who of this year.
Stefan Fry, I think probably because he's one of those players that's been with the team for so long, they've had time to perfect and improve that character model.
Good point.
Kelvin Leerdam, on the other hand, looks like post-car crash Kanye West. And I don't know if that's super insensitive, but it basically looks like Kelvin Leerdam's character has his jaw wired shut.
To be fair, like a significant portion of the players fall into this weird facial fracture range that they made to like represent. And unfortunately, many of them are from the African-American or just the black players, if you're not American, where I feel like the scanning software doesn't quite get it right. I feel like the white man got a break in this case.
Well, in my real job, that is not this podcast and that is not for the radio station anymore, I get to learn about and tell a lot of stories about AI bias bias in just technology as it relates to mostly women, but also people of color, right? And this is like a real thing. Like this technology that they are using most likely is not as attuned to be able to recognize black faces as it is to recognize and interpret white faces. And so you end up with these really kind of like uncanny valley faces for a lot of the black players. However, you look at New Who and, in my opinion, New Who and both New Who and Roman Torres look spot on. Like,
so
very
spot on. I thought that about Torres too. Like, New Who's got an interesting head shape that makes it easier for him to look.
You can get some more like identifying features on him.
Yeah, and Roman Torres is, of course, they have him still as pineapple hair. Yeah. Like, he still has the long, awesome dreads. I miss those so much. He looks so good with them. Anyway, he's missing those, and so now, but it, when you look at him on screen with those, it's like obvious who that player is. Sure. And I wonder if we have a little bit of dread bias there, where we're like, oh, that's obviously Roman Torres, yeah. Biggest Boy, okay? Yeah. But also, it does look good. I like went back and watched... looked again to confirm that, like, no, that looks like Roman Torres.
I will say, even the Leerdam character model looks like Kelvin Leerdam. Like, it still look like him. But then you get to a guy like Yamar, who does not look anything like Yamar, and you get to Jovan Jones and Javier Arriaga, who look nothing like Jovan Jones or Javier Arriaga.
I like that you just wrote, yikes. Now... with a lot of them, it's, forgive me, this will sound insensitive, but because of the stereotypes that go along with it, but it does look like with a lot of the players, they've just pulled the lips out and made the mouths a little bit bigger. Right. And that's like an awful stereotype that happens, but I'm noticing that on some of these characters. I'm like, oh my God. Then they get to Gustav Svensson, and he's got that going on too, and it makes him look like he's part Gun-Gun.
Carl Binks. Like,
yeah, Carl Binks. Gun-Gun Svensson. Yeah. So it's not exclusively with the people of color that are out there playing, but it does certainly seem to happen a lot with them.
I do appreciate the attention to detail with the Raul Ruiz Diaz character by actually giving him the neck tattoos, because like a lot of times it's like that could be anybody, but then you add the neck tattoos and you're like, that's Raul Ruiz Diaz.
Remember how I was talking about Ryu Diaz earlier?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ryu, R-Y-U, or Ryu if you played Street Fighter as a kid. I think Nico Ladero looks so much like Ryu from Street Fighter. Like, if you put him in a gi, gave him, like, the belt and the headband, I think he would look pretty spot on for that.
I love that, like, most of the characters that they in the game, you know, they do, like, they basically started the game, hit the pause. If you play FIFA, you go to the instant replay, and then you can, like, kind of fly the camera around the match wherever you paused it. So with with Nico, with most of the players, they just, like, froze the game, and then they, like, did a 360 pan around the player so you could see, like, the name on the back. You could see what they look like on the front. But with a couple of the players, specifically Roman Torres and Nico Ladero, they did, like, a slight slow motion so you could see, like, their, like, illustrious hair kind of, like, waving. Like, they were trying to show off the hair dynamics that they've coded into the game this year. And they picked Nico Ladero and Roman Torres to show how awesome it is.
Imagine if you had either of those in Street Fighter, though, or them fighting at the same time. They kind of have that, like, ready to... Like, Nico Ladero looks like he's, like, totally at peace, but also will kick your ass.
Yeah, yeah, it's like
Kung Fury.
Action!
That's my favorite song, man.
I know.
It's amazing.
It's so good.
And then I love this. Must have been easy-hitting copy and paste for Jordan Morris and Brad Bradsmith.
If you have Jordan Morris, Brad Bradsmith, and Harry Shipp on the field at the same time, and you don't have their numbers on them, and they're both running away from you, I would not be able to identify which one it was.
I did not know who Shane O'Neill was when they got to him. I was like, who is this? Yeah. And they finally went around the back, and I was like, oh, O'Neill.
I like that they added in, like, Alfonso Ocampo-Chavez and, like, Steph Cleveland, who are, like, backups on the team. Yeah. Like, Jordy Delem looked nothing like Jordy. I mean, I think that...
What a disaster.
Yeah. And like, it's like, you don't... I honestly don't expect them to go in. Like, imagine being, you know, like, 20 years old on the Sounders and seeing yourself in a video game that you grew up playing with your friends. Now imagine taking that to your friends in college and being like, ah, screw you guys. Like, I'm in this game.
Joao Paulo looks like they took Brad Evans' character model and gave him laxatives. What does that even mean?
It just does. It just looks like Joao Paulo. I mean, they took Brad Evans' hair and they put it on this Joao Paulo character and they made his head look like mostly the same, but then they like gave him this facial expression that looks like it was just Brad Evans trying not to poop himself.
I was like, I think Brad Evans is a skinnier guy. I feel like it goes the other way. Now I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I got to ask, of the ones we mentioned or the ones we didn't, if you line all these people up, whose is the best for you?
I will say we didn't talk about him, but I think that the Christian Roldan model looks exactly like Christian Roldan. It looks
man,
entirely like Christian Roldan.
That skin looks smooth, man. So that's smooth. What I thought too.
His eyebrows looked good. His which he is like classically known for his beautiful eyebrows and his like perfect perfectly groomed beard. Like the man looks like he should be the FIFA 21 cover model.
That'd be amazing. I support that. Cosign. I came to the same conclusion. I think that this podcast, the both hosts have a bit of a crush on Christian Roldan.
It's those eyebrows, man.
Okay. It's Richard's Sporting Goods Park, maybe. Sunday, the Colorado Slowpids welcome the Sounders FC, 6 p.m. on Sunday night, Seattle time, or lunchtime if you're Brad Smith's parents outside Sydney near the Emu Plains.
So. Didn't we say at one point Raul Diaz was an emu?
I believe it, but I'm not certain.
He's either emo or emu, one of those things.
Help me understand what's going on with Colorado if you have any idea.
Yeah, I mean, nobody really has any idea. They didn't play a game for almost exactly an entire month. They like their last game was September 23rd, in which they beat San Jose 5-0. And then a month and a day later, they come back for their first game. They had four matches postponed because of some positive COVID tests in the team or within the organization. And they came back to a 4-0 thrashing by Sporting Kansas City. They just destroyed them. So Colorado not necessarily having the greatest season. However, despite not playing four games and despite getting their little butts handed to them by Kansas City injected with bleach, they are still sitting above LA Galaxy in the Western Conference race. So, and they're not mathematically eliminated yet from the MLS Western Conference playoffs.
That's incredible that they've only played 14 matches and they're not mathematically eliminated. Three matches to go for Seattle, maybe eight left to go for Colorado. It's not going to happen. The league has a big problem on their hands trying to sort out how that's going to go. I think it's amazing that with a great result, Seattle Sounders FC on 35 points now. On the other table, that you have the Philadelphia Union tied on points with Toronto. They've moved into first place on goal differential at 40. I think 40, right?
Wow.
And so
I think that the Sounders could still mathematically be in the running for the Supporter Shield this season. If Toronto and Philadelphia keep playing the way that they have been playing, which is really well, like, you know, the Sounders aren't probably going to be able to catch up. But if the Sounders, with a string of supposedly easy games coming up in the next few matches, they might be able to at least, you know, win a few and put themselves in a position where, depending on results in the Eastern Conference, you know, be right up there with the best.
Wow, this is fascinating. Portland Timbers play tonight, so to see where they'll end up, if they'll slot into second again with a win. They're right now behind Sporting Kansas City by a single point, so they could drop a deuce and end up tied in second or tied for first, depending on how that goes. And then Minnesota United FC play tonight. They can't play Kai Kamara because of a gentleman's agreement made when they acquired him. The Colorado, that is. Can't play him when they acquired him from Minnesota United FC. It's really fascinating. I'm interested to see what happens here.
It's weird because, like, sometimes you see Colorado's like an enigma this season. Like, sometimes, first of all, with this whole Kai Kamara deal, usually what you see is if a player is on loan from a league, from one team to another team, they can't play against the team that loaned them. Right. So, like, if the Sounder, like, for instance, the Sounders a long time ago had a player named Eric Zavaleta who they had loaned to Toronto FC. Every time that the Sounders would play Toronto FC, or no, it was actually Chivas at the time. He ended up getting traded to Toronto FC. But when he played for Chivas on loan, anytime the Sounders played Chivas, Chivas could not choose Eric Zavaleta. Colorado Rapids own Kai Kamara's contract outright. It's not a loan situation, but like over the offseason when they acquired him, they just said to Manchester United, Minnesota United FC, they are both MUFC. They said to them, you can't play Kai Kamara when you play us. And it's not even written into the contract. It's just like a gentleman's agreement, like a handshake. So I would love it. I would absolutely love it if Colorado goes out there tonight and still puts Kai Kamara in the starting 11.
Just to really crap on him. I, I don't know how we're going to rectify the Colorado problem in terms of all the matches that they missed. And they were, you know, without a month of play, that's like 41 matches that they missed by MLS's current policy. I don't know what you do. And it sounds like you'll have to go with the, what is it? The points per game or
points per game. This is what's crazy is that, they were talking about this on the broadcast last night. They were saying they don't even know what to do with, they don't even know what to do with Colorado because, like, do they do some mathematical trickery to see if, like, Colorado would qualify? Imagine being the team in eighth place in the Western Conference. Currently, it's San Jose, somehow still above the line despite getting their butts kicked left and right over the last couple months. Somehow, imagine Colorado Rapids playing, let's see, right now, six less games than the Earthquakes. Right, they're at 14 games. After tonight, they'll be 15. So five less games than the Earthquakes, and somehow like knocking the Earthquakes out of playoff contention because of some mathematical wizard birdery that MLS does in order to like you know rectify the matches that they miss. In my opinion, and this I was thinking about that this morning. In my opinion, Colorado Rapids, if they weren't able to get the coronavirus under control in their own. In their own, you know, organization yeah. or whatever it was that they had to postpone, that's on you. Like, you know, FC Dallas and Nashville weren't able to compete in the MLS's back cup tournament league or whatever that thing was called because of coronavirus outbreaks within their organizations. That we didn't find a way to like rectify that for those teams. Yes, it's like a preseason tournament, but those games counted towards your regular season total. At least the group stage games did. So in my opinion, mm-hmm. you do not give Colorado Rapids any sort of special treatment. If they are able to, in the games that they have left, get enough points to make the MLS Cup playoffs, like award it to them, great, whatever. They were able to get more points out of less games. That seems deserved. But for some reason, if they're, you know, even if they win their next three games and they're still outside of playoff contention, I don't think that qualifies you to be able to beat and usurp a team that played all of their games and still were able to get the points that they did. That's my opinion.
All right. Well, in case you just got done rating last night's match on Amazon Prime, it's time for TLDL. Too long, didn't listen.
In case you just got done rating last night's match on Amazon Prime from inside your mother's pouch. Brad Smith. too long, didn't listen.
Timber Joey should definitely be a kangaroo.
I would like to see Timber Joey fight a kangaroo.
I'm in. Too long, didn't listen.
Goose is back from fighting for the future of Naboo. Misa play midfielder.
Misa bring the boomers.
That's what we should call Carl Binks's long-range shots from outside the box in the future. Boomers. Okay, boomers. Okay, too long, didn't listen.
If there's one video game player this pod would f***, it's Christian Roldan.
Bang.